So how are you doing? You good? Good? You had a good summer? Yeah? Overall? Okay, yeah. Had a great summer. Thanks for asking, by the way. So we're just getting back after 10 weeks of sabbatical. It was your generosity that made it possible that after 10 years of ministry here, we have a chance to get a real time away, a real break, a whole bunch of time with family. We spent most of our time, the bulk of our time in Chicago. This is a picture from a couple weeks back. It's our family up by Lincoln Park Zoo. Yeah, Chicago skyline in the background. Had a fantastic time. And throughout it, the point was to just to get a season of renewal and refreshment, to spend time together as a family, to get some rest, and in the midst of that, for just your gift to me of the time to just seek God and say, Lord, how have you wired me up for ministry? So for 10 weeks, I've kind of been disconnected. You know, I turned off Facebook, turned off email. And I've heard a whole lot of good things, and we'll be talking more about that, about good things that have happened this summer. But in being able to disconnect also gave an opportunity to really connect with God too. Say, Lord, what things have you naturally made me passionate about? What are the gifts that you've given me and the sense of call for this next season of life? Because I feel so called to the Wenatchee Valley and so called to Columbia Grove, really grateful to be here, and I believe that our best years are yet to come. So that's been wonderful. One of the neat things about being in Chicago is that it's, especially right where we were, it was an area of tremendous diversity. I took this next picture about a week and a half ago. This is on the subway, the L stop just off of Kimball, and it gives an idea. The 60625 zip code is, from what I'm told, one of the most ethnically diverse zip codes in the nation. And so this is just a snapshot I thought that would kind of capture some of what we experienced. So there on the left, you see kind of, here's a guy in a Broncos shirt with headphones on. And behind him, a guy with spiky hair and a whole lot of tattoos and earrings. Behind him, there's a woman with darker skin and Muslim garb. And behind her, a man looking more kind of Eastern European, I suppose. It was really neat just, you know, walking down the streets and here you look at the signs, for example, on shops and asking our girls, so what language do you think that is? And over the weeks, they're starting to identify things. Oh, that's Arabic, or that's Korean, or it sounds like they're speaking Italian. Is that what they're speaking? You know, so all these different languages and cultures. But just as there was a diversity of cultures that we got to interact with a real diversity of churches, and that was fun too, to just be sitting in churches and worshiping. Also had the privilege of meeting with a lot of different church leaders, both within the Covenant Church and worked some with some folks in the Lutheran Church. So churches large and small, everything from a church plant I got to do a little bit of coaching with that was a month and a half old. It was a campus plant off of the church that... Well, our family attended 13 years back when we were in seminary and part of a revitalization project. But it was so exciting to see small churches and young churches to also worship with and interact with church leaders from some very large churches. So the picture on the right is a service we were at with called Willow Creek. It's a congregation of about 24,000, I think. It's huge, you know. So the sanctuary itself would have a seating capacity larger than Town Toyota Center. So it's some large churches, and to see good ministry happening in all those places, older churches, younger churches, larger churches, smaller churches, and really be getting a chance to sort of refresh even my own sense of call and mission and vision here by experiencing all of that. But of course, the bulk of the time I just got to spend with my three favorite people in the whole world, and got to just get some really quality time with our daughters, especially. Elizabeth is 9, Lauren's 13. They're just the coolest kids in the world. So if you ever have an opportunity to spend 10 weeks with them, I highly recommend it, because they're just wonderful, and it's amazing seeing how they grow up. So as a result of that time and that refreshment, you know, I find myself just increasingly excited about the ministry here at Columbia Grove. We're here predominantly about three things in terms of the what our missional focus is. We say worship, connect, serve. I just want to talk about those just for a moment before we get into the new series and the text. One of the things that I noticed by worshiping in other congregations is that our church is so blessed with people that are very young in their Christian faith. People that either thought, you know, years ago, oh, I could never really fit in the church anywhere, and somehow they found their way to Columbia Grove. Or people that have just taken new steps of faith. And, well, worship, it is the focus of worship is to put our attention on God. One of the things within that I think we do very well, and I'm looking forward to us being even more focused on this capacity, is for people that are new to their faith, of making this a really welcoming environment for worship. Just simple little things even, like making certain that our announcements are things, you know, using terms and phrases that somebody can understand just by walking through the door. I mean, to be really careful about using insider language. You know, you've got to go to Pulse, you know, on Wednesday nights because Pulse is awesome. Well, if you don't know what Pulse is, we don't have a program named Pulse, by the way. If you don't know what Pulse is, you come into church and go, well, I must be an idiot because I don't know. And it's really hard to feel welcome in those kind of environments. So just kind of reconvicted around those things. We are called in our worship to be a welcoming place. So if you're here for first time, one of the first times, welcome. We're glad you're here. And we hope we do a good job of not only being friendly, but making sense. And if we're not, one of the greatest gifts you can tell us is to tell us where we're messing it up, because we're going to fix it. We are committed to reaching out through worship. I also was reminded we've got an embarrassing wealth of talent in this church in terms of musical skill. And just refreshed with that, grateful for that. And I was reminded by getting a chance to kind of just worship in congregations that, especially in the areas of music and the worship arts, it's not about the songs. It's about connecting with Christ. And so coming back with a kind of a fresh vision for, let's make certain that as we are singing, that at every point we are looking for, how does this song, how does this message help people to connect with God? I'm glad we've got a smoking hot band, but that's not the point. The point is connecting with Christ and putting our attention on Christ. And so I'm eager for this next season of that, because we have so much potential, because we have talented musicians who really want to worship. And I'm excited for that. Excited for connection, that second area of mission for us. And especially in this next season, connection is our major, is the area where we're most looking to grow. That's why we took the big faith step, the big financial step of calling Adam to help us connect better. I want to ask you this question. Do you have, let's imagine that tonight you're awake 2 o'clock in the morning. So I guess it'd be like Monday morning, 2 a.m. because you're stressed about something. You're worrying. I mean, I know the Bible says to not worry, but we worry, right? We worry. Do you have two people in your life outside of your immediate family that you could text them and say, pray for me, and you wouldn't have to apologize for doing that? Even better, would the people you text, would they already kind of know what to pray for you about? That's what I mean by connection. And I want you to be connected with somebody, somehow, somewhere. Now, some of you have a friend like that, or friends like that, in which case I hope you're incredibly grateful. You have a tremendous gift that, as far as I can tell, most people don't have. We are the most technologically advanced society ever, and many of us are desperately lonely. But that's one of the reasons why we need each other, why we need church community. Because we grow as we are known, as we let other people see our stuff, find safe places to share it, appropriate ways to share it, and we get to know other people, and we really care for them, not just as associates or people you kind of see and you're friendly with over coffee or whatever, but to really get to know people. That's my heart and my longing for you and for us, and frankly for me. I'm looking to grow in that area. I've got lots of friends, and I don't feel like I've done a great job of really nurturing my closest friendships. So that's an area of growth for me right now. And Adam's going to be helping us do that, both by the resources and equipping. But also, I mean, you can look at connection. We can do it in a couple different ways. You could do it the hard way. The hard way is that you just do it. You just find somebody. You're like, let's try this as a little exercise, see how this goes. I didn't try this in first service, but I'm a little nervous. Is just scan the room for a moment. Just look around, and I want your eyes to fall on somebody that you don't know very well. Now, don't stare at them, because that's freaky and weird. But just look around the room, and somebody that you may not know all that well. If that person asked you to coffee, said, hey, could we meet up? And I think I'd like to get to know you better. Would you say yes? Or if you already feel like Columbia Grove is your church and you're fairly secure in your faith, would you consider inviting them? Just reaching out to somebody, one person, saying, I'd like to get to know you better. Maybe even that person that you just stared at the back of their head. That might be the person that the Holy Spirit is leading you to connect with. That's why it's scary. That's the hard way. That's why we also provide what we call connection groups. That makes it's an easier way. So that, starting October 6th, I think it is, we're going to have a variety of groups. So there's ways where you can just meet in somebody's home around the topic. It's safe. And it doesn't mean that you're going to be, bestest buddies with every person in that group. But it does provide an opportunity for you to get to know people. And from there, my prayer is that you'll develop some really close friendships. Somebody that you could text at 2 a.m. and say, pray for me, and they'd know what to do. So that's our greatest area of growth right now. We're getting to be a larger church. And it's kind of cool that people can be anonymous, but we don't grow when we're anonymous. We grow when we're known. I want you to be known. And I know that's a big ask. And I know that's scary. But that is my prayer, is that you'd have a few friends on that level. And we want to try to help that to happen. The third area is with service. And this is where Columbia Grove is just knocking it out of the park. I mean, I've heard rumors like, did you feed like 1,700 kids or something, like meals this summer? And crazy. Great stuff. Okay. We and volunteers everywhere. I mean, we're seeing gifts and talents. I mean, you guys are doing great. Columbia Grove is known in the Wenatchee Valley as a church that cares. And that's a big deal. Because there's a lot of people, they look at the Christian community and they think they don't care. They only care about themselves. So the very fact Columbia Grove is known as a church that cares actually gives us a profound capacity to be a positive light and witness in our valley. Because you're doing it in very tangible ways. Yeah. Now, but I'd like to ask you to do me a favor in the area of service, and this could even do this on your connection card, if you wouldn't mind, is because I've been cut off from communication for the summer, quite intentionally, I don't necessarily know who the heroes were from this past summer. Because one of the goals of being away was that leadership would rise up. I mean, I heard some great reports about Barrett. Did you love Barrett? Yeah, he did. He was awesome. But there's also leaders in the church that they've gotten stronger this summer because there was more opportunity to serve. Brag on them. Brag on them. I need to know who the heroes are so we can thank them. And so those who are thriving in their areas of ministry can have a chance to grow in that, even be recognized in that, in whatever way is appropriate. In a similar way, this summer was a bit of a test, and I'm glad for it, of finding where our weaker areas are. And it's okay to say those things too. I'd love to hear, what are the areas that we're struggling in? Let me know. Give me a call. a connection card, or even safer is we've got a committee in the church called our Mutual Ministries. Are you, if anybody's on the Mutual Ministries committee, okay, Andrew, Don, these are some safe places to give feedback. So if you tell, for example, Andrew, here's some things that I'm noticing in the church, I'm not going to know that it's from you. So it's anonymous to me, okay? So it's safe from that perspective, and Andrew can keep his confidence. So can Don. They're absolutely trustworthy people. So, but let me know. Let me know what we need to work on as a church, because our best season of ministry is ahead. So anyways, that's a quick little update. Thanks for hanging in there. Now let's start a new series. Okay, so excited to start for the next few weeks a series that we're calling Where the Rubber Meets the Road, and it's just looking at how we apply our faith. Because in one sense, the Christian message is very, very simple. Maybe as a kid you learned John 3:16. You know that verse? For God so, loved. So God loved that he, what's he do? So God loved and so God gave. Who did God give? His only son. Why did God give his only son? Because we were messed up. We were alienated from God. We were in rebellion against God. And we are lost apart from God. God loved. He saw our mess. And so he gave his son that whoever what? Whoever believes. God loved, so God gave. If we believe, then they shall not perish, but have eternal life. You could think of it as God loved, so God gave. We believe, and as we do, we receive. We receive. That's life and the life to come, and a new heaven and a new earth. You will have a resurrected body on the other side of death. That is great news. But that's not the only part that's great news. Is that through Christ, he offers us life in the Spirit, in the kingdom of God, right here, right now, to walk with God daily. It is absolutely life-changing. If you've never asked Christ into your heart, I beg you, I pray that you will hear something that will give you the courage to take that step and say, Jesus, be my leader, be my Savior, be my guide. Because as you do, as you ask Christ into your life and your heart, you will experience that new life. That's the promise of Scripture. Now, the gospel, that message, is in one sense is very simple. Now, applying that to every arena of life, however, that can be much more complicated. Because, you know, life is tough. And as we go around life, there are all sorts of messages around us that tell us, for example, we see ads on the television or billboards or internet, wherever, saying, all of them saying the same kind of thing. Orient your life around me and you'll find greater joy or satisfaction or happiness. So whether that's money, you need money. If you have money, you matter more. And so if you don't have money, you don't matter so much. Orient your life around money. That's one of the messages out there. Or your physique, or health, or how good you look. All of these different things that are competing for our attention every single day. So we're going to be looking at, you know, how do we hang on to our faith, and how do we apply it in all these different arenas of life? And today we start with where faith really does start. The first place where your faith will be applied, and the people in your life that will know better than anybody else in the world, apart from God watching over you, how authentic your faith is. And that's home. Home is the first place you apply your faith. Your spouse, your kids, the people in your little world, they know how real your faith is and how authentic your faith is. So we're going to be looking at how you apply your faith at home. And so I wanted just to take a look just at a few verses, but I think as we dive into them, we're going to see just how well this ancient wisdom can speak even today into our world. So I want you to turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy. So Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, chapter 11. So whether in your book Bibles, your glow-in-the-dark Bibles, however you get your Bible, get it. Let's get it. Let's open it up. Open up God's Word and let it speak to us. So this is a passage written, it's God's instruction through Moses to the people of Israel. this nation that is being formed. They've just received the Ten Commandments. Heard anything about the Ten Commandments recently? Yeah, you spent the whole summer learning the Ten Commandments. That's good. So they've received the Ten Commandments, and so God, through Moses, is instructing his people in how they should live in light of the life that they have with him. And so verse 18 says this. What's the first word? Fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your minds. Now, if something needs to be fixed, it needs to be stuck there, what does that imply? It can easily get unstuck, right? Now, in the time in which it's being written, the Israelites were surrounded by nations that had all sorts of different gods, you know, gods of the harvest and gods of fertility. And so the way that the religious game was played is you just got to appease all these different gods. And if you appease the gods, things are going to go right for you. And God's message to his people is entirely different. No, there is only one God, only one God. So fix these words of mine. Now, in our world, we easily get unstuck too from our faith because we know we don't necessarily have little gods or things like that. Actually, one of the interesting things about being in Chicago is we got to go through stores and things like that, and they in some areas they'd have little shrines and got to talk to our kids about, so what's that shrine all about? And but even though in Wenatchee we don't have a lot of people that have shrines in their homes or things like that, but you've got things that are competing for your attention all the time. You'll matter if you were 20 pounds lighter. If you made $20,000 more a year, you'd be a lot more important person, these messages tell us. You matter just as much as your car or your six-pack abs or whatever it is that you have or don't have. That's what you find your purpose and satisfaction and joy in. And we can get dislodged from the truth. So we need to fix these words on our hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your, what's the next word? Your hands, and bind them on your, so they're like clothing. So in some points of history, the Hebrew nation, they would literally apply this. They would have these words like tied to their heads and fixed to their hands. Teach them to your who? Children. Talking about them when you sit where? At home. And when you, what? Walk along the road. Or I wonder if today, because we live in a wealthy nation, so most of us don't walk. You know, we have machines that walk for us. They carry us in buses and cars and bicycles and skateboards or however you got to church today. We actually, you know, it's kind of weird thinking that in our culture, like if your car breaks down, you're thinking, oh, I can't go to church now. Because we don't walk very much. So I wonder if this passage was being applied to us today. We'd say, you know, put this stuff in your car. Write this on the deck of your skateboard. You know, put this as a sticker on your bike. However you get around, be reminded all the time when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, so when you go to bed at night, what are the last things you think about? What's the last things you see at night? When you get up in the morning, what are the first things you think about in the morning? What are the first things you see? Write them on the door frames of your houses. So, in an Israelite home, which would not have a door quite like this, I'm sure, you might have the words that we're about to look at from Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Shema, the Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one, would literally be written on the doorposts, the door frame of the house. It's the first thing you see when you come home. It's the last thing you see as you leave your house. This reminder, you belong to God. You belong to God. Life is about God. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. And then it gets to this, verse 21. So that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your ancestors, as many as the days that the heavens are above the earth. Now, in our culture, and in the New Testament, in the age of grace, our focus isn't so much on maintaining land, but there is still a principle here that applies to us today. And it's this, is that though God's grace is ever present, because coming to Christ is just as simple as receiving the gift of God. We receive the full benefit of that as we live into that truth. So it's as we remember the words of God, as we orient our life around God, that we experience the full benefit of what it means to be a child of God. So there is blessing, in other words. There is spiritual benefit from keeping God's word before you all the time. So just as we look at this principle in Scripture, I'd like us to take some time and just think through your home. There's a lot of different ways we can apply our faith at home. Here's just one tiny little bit. So give me a few more minutes. What's on your hands? What are some things you have in your hands on a day-to-day basis? Car keys? How can items that you have in your hands remind you of who you are in Christ? Where are the reminders? A smartphone can turn into a dumb phone if it pulls you away from your relationship with God. One of the times we were at worship service, we got to listen to Pastor Craig Rochelle. He's the pastor of Life Church in Oklahoma. There's an app called Bible app called the YouVersion. This one church has now given away 100 million downloads of this app. 100 million, one church. So that your smartphone can actually be a smartphone and not just a dumb phone, because you can have God's word on it. Some way of reminding you on a regular basis, I belong to God. My life, my joy is found in God. So what's in your hands? What's in your hands? What's on your door frames? Let's just take a minute and think about that. So when you woke up this morning and you looked around your bedroom, what were some of the things that you saw? The reminders. Where are the reminders of God in your world, in your home? Now, since the kids are coming back in, I'm gonna pull it in short. But here's the big question. Here's the big question I want to challenge you with. What's the area in your life right now where you are most tempted to fall away from grace and awareness of grace? So for some of you, it's because you wake up in the morning and you go into the bathroom and you look in the mirror, and the first thing you think is a critical thought about yourself. You look in the mirror and some part of you says, I hate that person. Or I just wish that you were, and if you only were, I would like you more. You say that to yourself, maybe not out loud, but that inner conversation. If that's you, maybe that's the first place you should put a reminder of God's grace. Maybe that's where you should be writing God's word. Maybe something like Psalm 139, I praise you, Lord, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. For some of you, your spiritual application today is to go home and write something on your mirror. You with me? For some of you, maybe that's the reminders of God's word around the house. Some of you, you need to take a spirit-inspired trip to Hobby Lobby, and you got to get some swag for your house. You got to get some stuff, or wherever. But how do the decorations in your house remind you of who you are in Christ? What do you have above your door? And then I was also reminded of this. I thought it was a good insight. One of the problems sometimes with the decorations in our house is they often stay in the same place, right? And so after time, we stop noticing them. Maybe one of the ways to apply this verse is to go home and move some stuff around so that the things you want to be reminded of most are in places you know you're going to see it, and you're going to see it fresh. So what's in your hand? What's on your doorpost? And the final question, what's the culture of your home? Now, if you're a parent, you have the role in your household. You're like a thermostat. You set the culture of your home. For your kids, your grandkids, some of you have great grandkids, you set the tone of what your house is about. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a verse from Joshua. So maybe that's part of the tone you set for your house. Ours might, or you might, you know, we set the tone. Our house, we want it to be a place where people are treated well, where people are listened to, where there is grace and kindness, where we work through conflicts with care. And if you're a parent, you set the culture of your home for your kids. Now, dads, let me see your eyes. Let me see your eyes, dads. Now, while the responsibility of setting the culture for your house is shared, men, you have a particular role. And this is one of the most important ways that you lead in your house, is you set the tone. Would your kids ever catch you reading a Bible? That sets a cultural tone for your house. Do your kids ever hear you pray? That sets a cultural tone for your house. Now, I'm less concerned with things becoming more Christianized, because some of us were raised in really religious houses, you know, where there's Bible verses everywhere, and, you know, for Christmas, instead of getting toys, you get a Bible instead, you know, stuff like that, just kind of, come on, what's that? You know, or you were dragged to church against your will. Now, the real reason why you rebelled against that wasn't because of the Bible verses in your house. It's because your house, the house you were raised in, wasn't actually applying their faith. I've never met somebody that said, my parents, they were just too kind. That's why I walked away from the Lord. I've never met someone that said, yeah, they were just, our house was just too gracious. It was too forgiving and loving. That's why I hate it. So let's make a distinction between Christianizing a house and having a house that really has a culture of Christ. There's a difference. What's the culture of your homes? I'd like you to do one last thing as we apply it and we pray. In the bulletins, there's a little insert, you know, so here's the verse and an application. So I'm not going to make you hand this in. This is just for you, but I urge you to spend a little time with this. One way, with God's help, I plan to apply my faith at home this week is, and I urge you to take a step. And then the second half of it, someone I will apply my faith with is. And just allow the Spirit to speak to you and write it down. Let me pray for us. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you have great plans for our family. We're excited about the next season of life as a church family. And we just invite you, God, to have your way. May we be completely available to you. Mold us and shape us into the church you want us to be. And Lord, we recognize that as we apply our faith, the first place that faith will be applied is in our homes. So whether we live alone, with a roommate, if we're married, if we have kids, Lord, may we be wise about the cultural tone that we set for our house. Lord, for some of us, you might be speaking to us about the need to have reminders in our home or in our car or on the mirror. Holy Spirit, speak to us. Help us to fix these words of yours in our hearts and in our minds, that our lives might be shaped by them. Oh God, thank you for your grace that invites us to life change, that is given so freely as we open up our hearts and lives to you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.